I'm a prophet too now. Why am I on everybody they laugh? Am I not a prophet? Confirm one. They confirm prophecy. Praise the Lord. Now, this is thus said the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Thus said the Lord. And I'll be very brief so that our prophets can take over. There are so many that want to prophesy this afternoon. We said today is communion service. That means the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is supper, not breakfast. It is not the Lord's lunch. That is why we have two parts of our services today. After this worship service, it will take us into the supper time, and then we go into the Lord's Supper. So please, maybe you are from Catholic Church, you are waiting since 7 a.m. to take communion. That's Catholic communion, not Christian communion. There's Christian communion and there is Anglican communion. There is Catholic communion. Those ones, when they come, they celebrate it in the morning. But we are talking about the Lord's Supper. So it is taken at supper. Because every aspect of that ordinance has to do with salvation, has to do with redemption, has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is supper because it was the last meal that was taken before the rapture from Egypt to the promised land. And they took it in the evening because the next day in the morning, the journey was going to start. And Jesus Christ came in the evening of God's program. He came in the evening of God's program. He came at the end of the time. Hallelujah. So, it was symbolic. It has to be taken in the evening. It is unscriptural to take communion service in the morning or in the afternoon. It is taken as the sun is going down. Praise God. But I can assure you, we will not stay the whole night here. As soon as we finish that, we go. But for now, sequel to our June program, we need to say a few things that will keep us going in a revival. And I told you the last sermon I preached, I titled it, "This is not your rest." So that we can remain on our toes. But today, I'm beginning. I say beginning because I only introduce it, hang it, allow the prophets prophesy, and then from next week we continue. I'm looking at the revival that is going on now. Because there is a revival going on in the Bride Assembly. There's a revival going on. When you receive the Holy Ghost, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and what?
Fire.
Hallelujah. When fire is burning, you put hot water on a stove that still has fire under it. Hallelujah. What happens to the water after some time? It boils. It keeps boiling because the fire is still burning. But when the fire goes down, what happens? It will no longer bubble. The evidence that there's no more fire is that it becomes settled. And so it is also with Christians. The fire will be burning. After some time, something happens and he becomes starchy again And what I want you to do, what I want to achieve is to make sure that fire you receive continues to burn. Hallelujah. Keep that fire burning. Keep the fire burning. Praise the Lord. Keep the fire burning. You must remain revived. The revival fire must continue to burn. But as the fire, the revival has been released, there are enemies of revival. The enemies that are after that revival. So the next series, maybe for the next two or three Sundays that we'll be taking, we'll be looking at the topic we titled The Enemies of Revival. And they come from two fronts. We look at it from two fronts. Amen. We have you as an individual. There is the revival that goes on within you as an individual. And there is the corporate revival of the assembly as a church. Hallelujah. And remember that this revival we're talking about, we have a type in the Bible. From Egypt to the promised land. Amen. I want to imagine what happened when they thought they were dead. When they left Egypt, Pharaoh began to pursue them. And as Pharaoh began to pursue them, praise God, they thought they were finished, because before them was the Red Sea. Behind them was Pharaoh's army. Oh, we are finished. This man Moses, thought, you carry us from frying pan to fire. We not say we dey suffer for Egypt, though. But which kind thing be this? Even Moses himself will have been confused. Lord, you told me. You are the one that told me. I heard you. I saw you. A fire was burning a bush. The bush was not consumed. You say, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You say, I am that I am. That is, you are the ever-present God. That is, you are supposed to be here now. But what is happening? And suddenly, the water parted. And they passed through that water. It was not enough, because while they were passing through, fear was still there. Waiting to happen. May this water no release. Come cover us. Come cover us. What is happening? They disappear. And when they reached the other side of the bank, and then they turned to look at what will happen. Whether we through don't escape, Abi, what could begin wrong? And suddenly that water came in and consumed Pharaoh and his army. Then it marked the beginning of another revival. Miriam was the one that led in the song worship. And I imagine the type of dance that they danced. See their enemies all consumed. Hallelujah. But see what Apostle Paul is saying. Stand up everybody. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Stand up. That is where our text is for today. From verse 1. Are we there? I'm only making an introduction. We'll continue next Sunday. Moreover, brethren, I will know that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And we are all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were an example. We are our example to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now verse 11 is where I'm going. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, all of us, can we read verse 12, shall we go? Wherefore, let him that thinketh his standard take heed lest he fall. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Hallelujah. I told you, I want to emphasize what Apostle Paul is saying here. They all received that blessing in the wilderness. They saw the reality of God. They all came out from Egypt. But it is not all of them that made it to the promised land. Church, listen. Our promised land, I have told you before, is in twofold. One is right here now, and the other one is hereafter. Our promised land, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The rest there is in twofold. The rest there that Christ promised us, hallelujah, the rest there is resting from struggling to worship God. The rest he promised us is the rest from struggling. You are battling. And each time I make reference to Romans chapter 7, let's try to read it today. Let's read it. So that you understand why Jesus Christ said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Apostle Paul here is making an analogy on the reason why God had to do away with the first covenant, do away with the law, and bring in grace. So, in trying to explain it to the Jews, there are certain things he brought out here that will help us in line with what we want to say now. From verse 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? That is the law bad? God forbid. No. Listen to what he's saying. I had not known sin but by the law. That it is the law that made me to know the meaning of sin. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscences. For without the law, sin was dead. Because, hallelujah, you cannot, amen. Everybody, for instance, I want you to understand this statement. This bridge here, this bridge, some of you, they don't catch on a tire on the crossroad. Before they built that bridge there, everyone when you want to cross here, everybody will cross the road, no problem. No problem. But suddenly, a law was enacted. A law was enacted that if you cross the expressway, you'll be liable to so thing if you are caught and convicted. So from then on, the place that you used to cross before, anyhow, when you come, you remember the law, then you draw yourself. Because what I used to do before, there was no law. That's why I was doing it anyhow. That's what Apostle Paul is talking about here. Let me read it again. Hallelujah. But sin, verse 8, taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, yes, desire, this evil desire. Wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, that is in the absence of the law, sin was dead. Because if you didn't say, thou shalt not commit adultery, if I see any man's wife and sleep with her, my conscience will not be disturbed because there's nothing wrong with it. I only got to know that something is wrong with sleeping with another man's wife after the law came. Verse 9. For I was alive without the law. In the absence of the law, I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Because the soul that sinned shall die. And inside of me, now sin full there. Therefore, I was a dead man walking about. Verse 10. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, because the law was given so that we can have life, so that we can live a life pleasing before God. The commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Because when you see, the law says, if you they catch you in adultery, they will stone you to death. But there is adultery in you. So, when you see a woman, sin now is going to now lead you to die. It's pushing you to go and die. That's why it's pushing you to go and commit adultery. It's pushing you to die. There's something inside of you. Anytime you commit sin, it is that thing inside of you trying to push you to go and die. Because if you commit that thing, you will die. Yet that thing is inside of you, pushing you to go and die, go and die, go and die. That's what Apostle Paul is saying here. Which verse am I? Which verse am I? Verse 12. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. Amen. See, any day you take time to study this chapter 7, Paul, that revelatant apostle of God, he was too deep in the knowledge of revelation, of redemption. He's trying to make us see the difference between law and grace. So many of us know the Old Testament is gone. We are now in the New Testament. But you don't know why the Old Testament had to be taken away. Then secondly, if God knows that he's going to bring another covenant, new covenant, why did he bring the old covenant? So we've not bothered that to know that until Apostle Paul begins to tell us. Now as I read on now, you will know why God brought the Old Testament. He knew that no man would be able to keep it. And yet he brought it. So Apostle Paul is explaining it here now. Verse 12 again. Verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, this is the reason for the law. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. That is, I don't permit it, I don't approve of it. I am more happy. Maybe I'm a fornicator. Anytime I see a woman, my body is charged. I am not happy because I know that the law of God forbids me sleeping with a woman I have not married. I know. So anytime I go to sleep with a woman, I know what I am doing is wrong, but I could not stop doing it. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. That is what I am supposed to do. I won't be able to do it. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I don't approve of, I will not. I consent unto the law that the law is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. You see? When Apostle Paul said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood," you now understand why God easily has mercy upon us. Because he knows that when you commit anything, it is not you. There is something inside of you that is pushing you to do it. And he knows that you yourself, you don't even approve of it. Because nobody will know that if I do this, I will enter trouble and go with a free mind and still do it. And anytime you do, you still enter that trouble. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will the ability is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I will not, that I do. Now verse 20. Now, if I do that, that I will not, that I don't approve of, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I will do good, evil is present with me. See? For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Inside of me, I want to serve God. I want to live a holy life. Inside of me, I want to live a life pleasing before God. But, verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the answer. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you. Can you see the connection? Can you see the connection? Can you see the connection? Why he said, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest from every day struggling to live a life pleasing before God. Struggling, because no one can live a life pleasing before God, because the law of sin is working in your members. When you want to do good, evil is present. So it's battle every day. Every day, come before the Lord. I'm worthy, Lord. I am unworthy. I am unworthy to come. I don't know. I just don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know. Before I say anything, I will just lie. There are some people that can never make two statements, and the two statements will follow one after the other truth. The first one will be correct, the next one lie. And the reason you have to keep telling lies, if you tell one lie, you have to tell 10 other lies to sustain the first lie. So you live a perpetual life of lie. You see? If they ask you your name, before you answer, you go look and whether I don't tell them before, which name I don't tell and say be my name. Oh. Because the first one you tell them was not correct. So everything is lie. Even when you should not lie, you will lie. It's not you. There is something in you that is doing that. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ came to set to. So that is the rest, church. You rest from that. That is the first part of that rest. Of course, the last rest that we have is the deliverance from this body, from this flesh. When this flesh shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, we will be changed. And then we will be caught up in the air. The rest is to be with Christ in his presence forever and ever. And that is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in twofold. The kingdom of God, in Luke 17, he said the kingdom of God does not come by observation. He said, if they say, lo, he is here, he said, don't go there. Lo, he is there, don't go there. He said, where is the kingdom of God? It's within you. He said, for the kingdom of God is within you. And I've explained this several times before to you. Why did he say the kingdom of God is within you? Because Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 says the kingdom of God is not in meat and in drink, but what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you say, I am now in the kingdom of God, it means you have come to an estate in your Christian life where, because of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because it says it's in the Holy Ghost, now you can experience true righteousness, the ability now, you are no more struggling to live a life pleasing before God. What is sin? It's sin. It's just not part of you anymore. Righteousness. Then peace. You come to a state where nothing troubles you anymore. The peace that money cannot give. The peace that no human being can give you, no situation can give you. And joy every time you are happy. Why are you happy? Even you yourself, you can't explain it. Why? Because Jesus Christ has taken over. Any matter, you throw it to him, you move along. When you come to that estate, then you say, you have entered the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Then you say, you as an individual, you have entered the kingdom of God. But, hallelujah, hallelujah, the final kingdom of God is the 1,000 years reign of Christ, where we shall come on earth here and rule here, because a kingdom is a domain headed by a king. The King of Kings will come on earth here. We shall be kings and he shall be King of Kings for 1,000 years. Satan, the tempter, shall be bound for 1,000 years and put in the bottomless pit. Therefore, we shall not need hospitals. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There will be no armed robbery, no kidnapping, no ritual killers, no witches and wizards. There will be no demon to torment anybody. That's why the Bible says that the whole creature waited earnestly for what? For the manifestation of the sons of God. When the true children of God will be coming to earth here, there will be no ecological problems. There will be no oil spill in any ocean. Hallelujah. No riots. No, all this heat everywhere here. We won't need all this fan. The whole temperature, God will create the temperature, just everything will be restored as normal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because of that, there will be longevity. 1,000 years, a man can live 1,000 years. Why? Because the Bible says, when a man is 100 years old, they will say he is a baby. So, 100 years old, they'll be sitting in children church class Amen. The Bible said during that 1,000 millennium reign, the Bible says that a lion with a goat, they're going to chop grass together. No problem. No problem. A little child will just carry one lion, they play with her. Little child, but they play with her. Why? Because the King of Peace is on earth. There will be peace on earth. There will be righteousness on earth. There will be joy on earth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The earth is going to experience her righteousness, peace, and joy. But for now, it is starting within you. And it comes by the revival that he has released. And you are not yet a Christian until you are in that kingdom. And what's the evidence I am in the kingdom? Is that you will experience true righteousness. You will not be struggling to live a life that is pleasing before God. What God hates, you will just find yourself, you just hate it. What God loves, you just find yourself, you can't help it, you will love it. You can't help but to love your enemy. You're not struggling to give. You know, some people struggle to help. You know, somebody needs help. You have the ability, but you're going to struggle. I give her. That's how they give people finish. Then go turn. They fight me after. Me and them. Beg, carry your hala, they go, Joe. Carry your hala, they go, Joe. You know, you're not yet a Christian. You know, a Christian does not do that. Hallelujah. If you are at all, you are still a baby Christian. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I was telling my wife 2 days ago, something had to lead to that. And I said, a man, say you're a Christian. You see another Christian brother is in need. The brother or the sister is in need. And you have the ability to help him or her. And you don't help. I say you are evil. You are evil. Evil is in you. Evil. You see? And there are many evil people in the church. And they will say they are Christians. You are not Christian. Nothing. 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 Righteousness, peace, and joy is what you are supposed to experience as evidence. And please, when I say, I made a statement, listen to my English. I say, somebody is in need and you know. Because you can come and meet me on the road and tell me you are in need. There is nothing to make me believe that you are truly in need. That's different. That's different. Brother, since I said never chop, how do I know you never chop? How am I to know you never chop? That's not the type I mean. Brother, I don't have transport money to go home. How do I know you don't have? In this wicked and lying generation. Charity believeth all things. Not this type of all things, so. Charity believeth all things. No, be all things. So, 419 is telling you, I have container at the port. Give me 2 million. Make we clear and tomorrow we go share and 50-50. Charity believeth all things. Take 2 million. No, be like that, though. Charity, 1 Corinthians 13. Charity believeth all things from God. The things we believe is from God. Thus said the Lord, you will accept it. Not. See, that is why there is a gift of wisdom and there is a spirit of discernment. Hallelujah. It's not everybody that comes for you for help, you help. It's not everybody. Oh. So when I say anybody, I say, you must know that this, somehow, you know this person has this problem. She's a young girl, a young boy. Very smart. And you call him. What's the problem? Why are you not going to school? I'm not going to school because my parents can't afford it. Now you know he has a need. That's what I mean. Now you know. Because a young boy will not sit at home. He wants to go with his mates and read on and go on. That's what I mean. Of course, you are seeing a young man, his shoe, all, everything, the clothes he wears and everything. You can see somebody in need now, you will know. You will know. You will know. Not knowing by the person coming to tell you, brother, look my shoe now. Nobody will tell me, make a look your shoe. Because you can go and carry one kind of shoe, come so that I go see. Leave me, I go see him by myself. If now you point unto me, then leave me, make an investigate first. You have not seen. Church, the Bible says we should be as wise as what? And what? Harmless as? I'm talking to children of God because it's easier to dupe Christians. These are to dupe Christians. Deputy. Hello? Hello? Deputy. Hello? Is that Pastor Moses? Yes, Pastor Moses. Oh! Pastor Moses. Hey, how is bride now? Oh, how is bride now? I was worshiping with you and now I'm Port Harcourt. I was the engineer at Ejigbo NMPC now. You don't know me again, Pastor Moses? Okay, what's your problem? No, I'm now in Port Harcourt. I'm now NMPC Port Harcourt. I'm general manager pollution. So many of you will say, oh, God has answered my prayer. Call me back. To start with, anybody that call you and say, call me back, don't call the person back. Be as wise as a serpent. I don't call you. You they call me, say, call me back. When did you concern me to call you back? Hey, why you already call me now? Why you already call me now? Then they sit down here, now they hear me. Hey! They go say, this man, don't spoil my market. Anybody will know your phone number, so tell you, no, say they worship for bride assembly. Nobody church, if they come, where is he? He pays if they sit down behind you. Every day for church. He knows everything. They follow you, go, my man. They follow you, go everywhere. He knows everything. So, children of God are not mumu. Don't be mumu. Somebody is calling you and telling you, guess who is calling? I'm calling from London. Guess who? Guess now. They call my wife one time. He said, guess now. Is it my wife or who was this person? He said, guess now. Then he called one name, Chukudi. He said, hey, okay, not true. Not me. Oh, Lushi. Any name you call, he could say, nah, me be that. I've sent some containers to you. I've sent some items to you. Eh? Call this person. He just arrived, so he needs a recharge card. So send him recharge card so that he going to communicate with you when to come and collect the items. Then you go say, hey. Then you go, small time. You go call one number. Okay, are you the one? I'm in Soweto now. Send me recharge card so that when I reach, then you go collect your 2,000 tomorrow, 3,000 tomorrow. Hold on, praise the Lord. Christians are so foolish because they think they have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is also a spirit of wisdom. Spirit of wisdom. Don't let anybody cheat you. Take advantage of the liberty we have in the spirit. You enter motor. You don't know anybody for the motor. Now as you enter, now they begin to argue. And then you go put my waiting to happen. They say, nah, driver is telling you, say, nah, this one, we just arrived from Congo. So he can't carry, I can't carry in container finish. Now money because he said now money there inside. So what you not involve me for inside? I can't drop it where I can now. He said, I know your opportunity be this, so they're already convincing you. Then you say, I remember the prophecy. They said this month of July. Hey, God, don't do it. You go and wash money. Any Nigerian with no secret of how to make big money, he go tell you. You then go and bring money. Before you know what, you enter covenant. before you know, and if you see how women, they mess them up, they sleep with them, put all manner of things in their private part, and warn them, if you talk, you die. And they are laboring. Tomorrow, bring 20,000. They go, thief here, go bring. Thief here. Until you know that you don't enter wrong, you go see the dwarf. Motor stop for road. Gone are those days, sisters. The young men will just stop, see fine girls stop, and say, hello, can I give you a ride? Gone are those days. Women, not they take ride from people they don't know again. If you don't know anybody, stop motor. If rain, they fall with stones from above. He say, enter, enter, no enter. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. There's one text where they sent to me, say, something casino. Say me, I don't win 13,500 naira. Casino. Which I don't begin to enter casino, they go play kalo kalo. This is your code number. This is your PIN number. This is this. This is that. I didn't play any game. How can I win? You have won. Then you say, oh, manna from above. Miraculous money from abroad. And you don't know where they are leading to. That 13,000, now your 13,000 they won't collect. That is if it doesn't go more than that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And now that we have received the Holy Ghost, there is a need for us to say a few things. Praise the Lord. To maintain that revival. And then we will continue to say those things from next week Sunday. God bless you. Next week Sunday. Hallelujah. Can we be on our feet now?